This month, for the first time in about two decades, the people of the 131st Assembly District, which covers the heart of the Finger Lakes, will have a new representative, with Republican Jeff Gallahan succeeding GOP incumbent Brian Kolb, who didn't run again. In light of the transition, we wanted to introduce the new assemblyman, who we spoke to before the new year. Welcome to the show, Jeff, and congrats on your victory.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for having me on your program. I look forward to our discussion today.
Well, let's see how it goes. So I read that cooking is a passion of yours and that you and your wife, Lynn, have your own catering food truck. What made you make that leap back in 2018?
Well, we do. And, you know, I've been making my own sausage for years and processing deer. And it's a hobby, but it's a passion. And everybody's telling me, Jeff, you got to start selling that sausage. So back in 2017, I thought, well, maybe I should start selling this. I'm kind of winding down my career, and maybe if I retire, I can run this food trailer, and that's what I'll do in retirement, and sell my sausage. And so we designed the trailer and ordered it, and away we went. In 2018, we opened, and it's been quite a success story since. So,
well, you mentioned that trailer. Can you sort of describe for the listeners the logo that's on there?
Yeah, it's actually a friend of mine is quite the artist, and he designed the logo on the side of the trailer that we had it for probably about 7 or 8 years before we even opened. So if you look at the design on the side of the trailer, that's supposed to be me. And if you look, it looks like me in my 20s for sure, not my golden years now. But anyway, that's where the logo came from. And good friend of ours, Chris Tones, and he is he's a fantastic artist and painter, and he does tanks and on motorcycles, and he paints cars, and he's quite talented. So that's where that came from.
That experience of having your own food truck and dealing with various state regulations, maybe local health codes, what has that sort of taught you about being in the food service business? And are there changes you think that the state should make based on your experience?
Well, in the food truck business, first let me state that I've been dabbling in the restaurant business since I was 14 years old. Grew up down the street from a restaurant, and I was a busboy and grew into the bartender and helped out in the kitchen. So I've been doing it for a good many years. So for someone like me to start out and have to go through the red tape, so to speak, and you know, with a health department, New York State, filing your LLC, there's a lot of different things that you need to do, but fortunately for me, I had a lot of that experience under my belt. So when I went to do it, I knew how to cross my T's and dot my I's, and it wasn't such a bad experience. For someone first starting out, though, there's so many there's so many things that you need to know. You need to know about your commissary. You need to know about the health regulations and the state regulations and the local regulations. And there's different regulations from county to county, from town to town, and from city to city. So there's a lot of red tape that you have to go through. There's a lot of permitting processes that take place to get on the road and to get around with your trailer or truck, whatever you may have. And you know, if there was a way to streamline it similar to maybe building codes, it may be a lot better, because before I venture out of Ontario County and go somewhere else, I have to check all the rules, regulations, apply for permits. And it's not only costly monetarily, but it's costly in time. So, you know, there should be some ways to streamline that so that once you get set up with a health department, you should be good to go, except for maybe a peddler's permit in the town or city or county that you may be doing business in. So,
well, when it comes to red tape, you know, more broadly, you talked during your campaign and during a general election debate about the need to essentially cut red tape. And I'm curious, based on this experience, you know, do you think that we need to eliminate sort of some of these regulations, or do we need to just better equip people to handle them? Say, you know, give people like a navigator to help them make it through red tape the way you were kind of able to do based on your experience in business.
I think having a navigator is a novel idea. I think that someone I'm going to stay on the food business. Someone that's in the food business, that wants to start a new business, there's so many different obstacles that you face throughout the permitting process that are not particularly spelled out, you know, in black and white. So there's a lot of times that I know that a friend of mine, he opened a food trailer, and he was back and forth with the health department alone five or six times before they were satisfied with even his permit. So if there is a navigator that can be constructed, not only in our business but other businesses, I think it would be extremely helpful. I'm floored all the time with the different regulations that come out. And the first year I filed my taxes, my accountant said to me, you got to fill this form out and send $25 into the state. I said, well, what's that for? He said, well, that's so that you can file your taxes. So, I mean, redundancy and taxes and you know, just having to file a form to file my taxes and pay $25 to the state for that. I mean, those are the types of things that deter people from opening new businesses and being entrepreneurs and creating new jobs. So
I was reading some of the campaign coverage from your announcement back in February, and there were repeated references to values, including Senator Pamela Helming, a Republican who endorsed you, talking about your shared upstate values. And so I was curious, from your perspective, what are upstate values, and are they different from downstate values?
Well, I think that some are different, but most are the same. I mean, we all value family. We all value, you know, our particular religious preference. We all value our friends. We all value our freedoms. So, you know, being honest and upfront and your integrity, having your integrity is those are all the values that we instill in our family and here in the 131st with my family. I'm speaking to my family, not my 131st family, but that trickles down to your constituents, and they understand that that your values are the same as their values. Senator Helming is right spot on with those types of values and what makes our state great. I mean, caring for one another, doing the right thing. Taking care of your constituents, listening to what's going on and reacting to those folks so that you can help them. And that's basically what I perceive as values.
So then when she talks about upstate values, I guess if I could just circle back again, what do you think are the differences between those and say downstate values?
Well, I think some of the differences are our values up here. We have, for, let's say, transportation. If I want to get in my car, I have to get in my car and go shopping. Downstate, you can jump on the train. You can get a taxi. You can get Uber. You can get Lyft. And when it comes to upstate values, and we hear about upstate, you know, it's going to cost you $25 for a new license plate. Well, that doesn't affect so much downstate as the, you know, not so many people own cars down there. But upstate folks, we have one mode of transportation pretty much, and that's your vehicle. And if you have two vehicles in your household, that's $50. And some people, you know, making minimum wage, those are the types of things that they can't afford. So, you know, that's one minor difference, but the difference between upstate and downstate. You know, we have farms up here, and the farms operate, a lot of family farms up here, and they operate quite differently than businesses would. And, you know, there's no farms in the Bronx or the five boroughs, and so there's the differences are subtle in some areas and kind of drastic in others. Just you know, your way of life and you know, the businesses that you're surrounded with and the industries that support your economy. So
we're speaking with Assemblyman Jeff Gallahan, a Finger Lakes Republican who succeeded former Assembly GOP leader Brian Kolb, who didn't run for office again in 2020. During your campaign, you repeatedly sort of talked about your ability to forge relationships on both sides of the aisle, which you were clearly able to do in local government, essentially having a Democratic supervisor tell you that they wanted you to be your successor. But in Albany, where majority politics rule and Democrats don't really need your vote for anything, how do you anticipate bridging that gap and making a difference in Albany?
Well, David, I know that being in the minority, it's an uphill battle, and I was elected because of my views, and while Republicans are not in the majority in New York State, I don't believe that means they shouldn't have a voice at all. I look forward to making relationships across the aisle, and I know from my experience on the Board of Supervisors that letter next to your name doesn't necessarily define you. On many occasions, you know, I had disagreements with Republican colleagues, and I agreed with the Democratic colleagues, and not all issues are Republican versus Democrat, so I look forward to getting down there and meeting my colleagues from the majority conference and working things out and working together to make this the Empire State again. I mean, we have people leaving the state in droves, 300 people a day. We need to turn that around and get 300 people a day coming into our state, and that's how we're going to do it.
Why do you think people are leaving?
Taxes, number one, and regulations, number two.
So, you think that, a college graduate says, what, the taxes are too high, I need to leave, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, I think it's much more complicated than that. The college graduates today, not only college graduates, but, your electricians and your machinists, your plumbers, they're all facing large tax burdens in their businesses. Insurance rates are extremely high in our state, which is just drastically hurting our workforce. Instead of creating jobs, we are losing jobs, and those types of things need to be addressed. And we need to start bringing jobs back to New York State instead of losing jobs. When I first started in sales, I was calling on Kodak, which is the shell of itself now, and New Venture Gear in Syracuse, which is gone. Carrier, they're gone. American Axle in Buffalo, they're gone. I mean, those are thousands and thousands of jobs that are disappearing that not only our college-educated folks and engineers need those factories and those businesses open, but so do our tradespeople. So it's forcing people out of our state, and we need to attract those businesses back to our state.
Well, those are expensive manufacturing jobs that were really good-paying union jobs. Do you think that New York has a future in that kind of production?
I do, because we have a workforce in New York State, and I can speak directly to the Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse market because I called on that market extensively for many years. You have a workforce, an educated workforce in those three districts that is second to none in the Northeast and in the country. When I had a sales territory from Maine to Virginia, and when I was in Virginia calling on shops down there as regional manager, 40-50% of those shops were all run by and manufacturing facilities were run by folks from New York State. I couldn't believe it when I first started calling down there. And they got the fishing line out and they're hooking them and bringing them down. And I've been seeing it for many years now. And that's a trend that we need to turn around. And we need to get together. The majority and the minority need to get together and figure out how to get that done.
I read that for years you've handcrafted sausages and kielbasa for friends. What is your favorite blend of meat and spices for a sausage?
Well, my favorite is venison and pork.
50-50 split, or what are you looking at there?
Yeah, I do a 50-50 split. I definitely do. And I make kielbasa, and I make chorizo, and andouille, and hot Italian, mild Italian, sweet Italian. That's my favorite mix. So when November rolls around, my candle's burning late at night, and friends are over, and we're processing our venison and making sausage, and that's my favorite. I had a mentor out of Buffalo from the sausage maker. His name was Rytek Kutas, and I'll be forever grateful to Rytek for being my mentor in the sausage making industry, because I get stuck and I get in a pickle. I'd call him up, he'd answer the phone. He's the president of the company, and no one was not important enough to answer the phone for Rytek. He was a great guy, he once said to me, I really, truly am blessed that I was able to teach an Irish kid how to make German sausage. So,
well, we touched on the idea of upstate values, but what we didn't address is where upstate actually is, geographically speaking. So for you, where is the dividing line between upstate and downstate New York?
Well, that's a loaded question. I guess the dividing line would be somewhere just south of Westchester County. But we're one state, and we need to start talking that way. And we need to make sure that downstate and upstate get together and that we discuss what's going on. Because you know what? I've visited New York City many, many times. I've never lived there. And I don't know what their needs and their wants are. I don't know what their daily struggles are down there. And they don't know what ours are up here. And if we can get together, I mean, I'm happy to host as many of the downstate assembly people and senators, too. If they want to come up and spend some time, I'd be happy to take them around and show them you know, our farms and what we do and our restaurants and our gun clubs and how people live up here and what they expect from local and state and federal government. So I would hope we could get together and do that and learn a lot more about each other so we can come together and govern our state and like I said earlier, make this the Empire State that it needs to be.
I read that your wife of more than four decades, Lynn, was your high school sweetheart. Do you remember what your first date was?
Yes, I do. It was a dance at the school.
And did you ask her or did she ask you?
I asked her. I finally got up the nerve and I kicked it around for about 3 months, Dave, and then I finally asked her. I had to get up the nerve. But yeah, that was our first date. We were in the same homeroom since sixth grade. So for all those years, we're in the same homeroom, and we knew each other, and nothing kindled until our senior year. And then things took off, and here we are going on 42 years later. So two children and three grandchildren, and things have been good. Marriage has been great.
Sounds like that dance went okay then.
Yeah, it did. Went very well. And I can't dance.
from your pictures, I noticed that you're bald, but nothing wrong with that. But I was curious, when you started losing your hair, did you sort of just roll with the situation or did you try to fight it?
No, I rolled with it all the way. As a matter of fact, we have a bunch of us that ride bikes together, motorcycles, and we're all together one night. And I was down to the number one on the razor, and they said, why don't you just shave your head and get rid of all of it? So the next morning I got up and I shaved what was left, and I've been doing that ever since. So that was probably close to 15 years ago.
Finger Lakes wines, do you think they're good?
I think it's great. I think it's one of the top wines in the world for our region. The accolades and the awards that we're receiving in our region now far exceed any expectations I had. Growing up, when I was old enough to partake and drink wine, I think it's come a long way. We're a great destination, and tourism in our area before COVID was really, really, really good. And yeah, we have great wine here. We have really good wine here.
What was the worst part about being a busboy?
Clearing tables and taking the dirty dishes back to the kitchen. I can tell you that it was an embarrassment for me one night, a quick story. We had a band coming in that night, and I was clearing tables, and the band strung their wire across the floor for their mixer board. While I was cleaning the table, I put the tray up on my shoulder, I turned around and headed for the kitchen, and didn't realize that was there and lost about 40 different dishes all over the floor. Unfortunately, an embarrassing moment, and my colleagues realized that and told me, stay in the kitchen, we'll go clean that up, just stay in here, don't worry about it. So,
Then conversely, what was the best part about bussing tables?
Well, it had to be the tips from the waitresses, of course.
Okay.
But just getting to know people, talking to people, it's been something I've done all my life, and I enjoy doing it, and it's been good.
And finally, at the state or federal level, is there a Democratic politician in the last 100 years that you maybe did support or if you'd gotten the chance to, would have voted for?
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Okay. And why is that?
He was a man of values. He was trustworthy. He was a man of his word. And there was many, many things that we agreed upon. Naturally, there were some we didn't, but he was the guy, the Democrat that state, federal, anywhere. I have more respect for him than any other Democrat that held office.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblyman Jeff Gallahan. He is the new representative for the 131st District in the Finger Lakes. Assemblyman, thank you so much for making the time, and congrats and good luck.
Thank you, Dave. I look forward to working with you in the future and sitting down for some discussions. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.